We're going to be looking at Psalm 26, and I'm going to be reading three verses, and if you have the outline, you can be glad that part of the outline is a study for you to do on your own. Point number three, we will mention maybe one, but that is a study for you to do maybe through the week on integrity. So Psalm 26, verse 1, 2, and then we're going to read verse 11. 1, 2, and we'll read, I guess, 11 and 12. Psalm 26, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. And then down in verse 11 and 12, it says again, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and the congregation will I bless the Lord. A book that was written many years ago, and it was an interesting study even until this time. It was written in 1991, released, I believe, in 1992. And the book was entitled The Day America Told the Truth. And so it was two men that basically for a number of years did a study, and they found that there was basically way back, and they went through, they were studying kind of the 80s, 1980s. So you think that was decades ago. It wasn't now, decades ago in America. And they found that there was no moral authority in America. America, they said, are making up their own moral codes. What they found is only 13% of us believe in the Ten Commandments. Right? That was in the 1980s, the late 1980s, early 1990s. Only 13% of people believed in all of the Ten Commandments. 40% of people believed in five of the Ten Commandments. And they said, we choose which laws of God we believe in. There is absolute no moral consensus in this country as there was in the 1950s when all our institutions commanded more respect. Second, they found Americans were not honest. Lying, they said, became an integral part of American culture, a trait of the American character. In fact, I've noticed that even more. I would say even in our church family, it's not uncommon for somebody to just make something up and lie, and they say, well, that's just my opinion. I'm like, well, that you're talking about somebody else and you have no proof. That's called lying. Oh, that's your opinion. That's a favorite phrase nowadays, is that's your opinion, okay? No factual proof to anything, and that's what has happened. America's culture says that lying is okay. We lie and don't even think about it. We lie for no reason. The authors at that time estimated that 91% of Americans lie regularly. 91%. That's 30 years ago. Third, marriage and family are no longer sacred institutions. Think about this. This is now 30 years ago. While we still marry, we have lost faith in the institution of marriage. A third of married men and women confessed to these men that they had at least one affair. 30% aren't really sure that they still love their spouse. This was 30 years ago. Fourth, in this book, they found that the Protestant work ethic is long gone from today's American culture. Workers around America frankly admit that they spend more than 20%, so 7 hours a week of their time at work, totally goofing off. That amounts to a four-day work week across the nation. The authors concluded by suggesting that we have a new set of commandments. Okay, 77% of Americans 3 decades ago said, I don't see the point in going to church on Sunday. 77%. 74% said, I would steal from those who won't really miss it. 74%. If they're not going to miss it, then it's not really stealing, I don't think. All right? 64% said, I will lie when it suits me so long as it doesn't cause any real damage. 53% said, I would cheat on my spouse after all, given the chance they would cheat on me. 53%. 50% said, I will procrastinate at work and do absolutely nothing about one full day and every five. That was half of America. All right, so that was 3 decades ago. In the passage that we just read, we saw that the psalmist says, I'm going to walk in mind integrity. So is it okay if our society has changed rules and said lying is okay, stealing is okay, having a non-Christian work ethic is okay? Is it okay if all around us integrity is laid down? Well, the Bible has a decent amount to say about integrity. We're not going to look at all of the passages, but in the wisdom literature, all right, in the Old Testament, you have a section called the wisdom literature, which would be starting with Job and going through Song of Solomon. All right, and those, I think it's 5 books, are called the wisdom literature. Well, right in there, you have a number of verses. Job chapter 2 and verse 3 says, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? That means that he hated evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Job, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. So what God was telling Satan, he allowed Satan to move against Job and to attack him in some ways, to move against one of his children. And God says, even though I have caused some hurt as God to one of my children, Job still has integrity. That's God talking about Job. Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? So this is after everything has happened. His wife comes and says, Why are you holding on to your integrity? Job chapter 31 and verse 6. Let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. Psalm 7 in verse 8, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Proverbs 19 and verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. So in the Bible, as we're studying it, what we find is that integrity is not tied to riches. Integrity is not tied to just character itself, right? What we're going to look at in point one and point two, and specifically in point two, Psalm 26 gives us some tips to help us in our integrity. And this is, just as we start, I want to put this thought, because this is, I would say, our theorem that we're putting out there biblically, and I think we have biblical basis for this. Integrity is tied to God. Integrity is tied to God because God is holy, God is just, and we see that in the Bible. So I understand that in religions, there are some people that you know and they're talking. In fact, there's Catholics talk about that and they teach strong as far as character and integrity. But this is what I would say as the only reason that you can have strong character and strong integrity is if you are tied to Scripture strong. Because we have to grow in our integrity. And that means I need to be tied to somebody that has strength of character or strength of integrity, and that is God. Because what are we? We are frail. We are flesh. So on my own, I can't gain integrity. I have to be helped along with that. So the blessing is that all of us, no matter what our past, can gain in our integrity. No matter what our past, we can gain in our integrity. Integrity, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. It is possible to walk in integrity. And in Psalm 26, it's two times In the wisdom literatures, these are two instances that the word integrity is used. Psalm 26 and verse 1, judge me, for I have walked in mine integrity. And then in verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. This morning, I'd like to give some tips for integrity. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, strengthen us. Lord, as we look at scripture and consider it, I pray that it would be instructive to us so that we could gain in this area of our character. Lord, as we look at a definition, I believe that we'll be able to understand more what integrity is. And Lord, I believe there's a failure in that, a failure in our nation, a failure, Lord, as a whole in this area of integrity. Pray that we would be able to see those failures. Lord, we'd strengthen it through the Word of God, through Christ, our Savior. Lord, we become stronger in our integrity. As always, Lord, do that which I cannot do and speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So our two points that we're going to look at is integrity defined, and then secondly, integrity maintained. And we see that in Psalm 26, and we get five different helps or tips on integrity from Psalm 26. So first of all, let's define it. Integrity, you find it a couple of times in the Old Testament, but one of the times is found in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4. So that's as far as a dictionary definition. The dictionary translates the idea of integrity to be soundness, completeness, upright, perfection. In 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4, it says this, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart. One of my examples that I give as far as integrity examined, okay? And I give you five or six different examples, and some would say, I cannot believe that you would put him down as an example of integrity, and that is King David. Because most of us know the horrific sin that he committed, but yet he is an example of integrity. Why? Because God says it. 1 Kings chapter 9, he says, David walked in integrity. And I hope that you'll do that. And at the end of the message, I think as human beings, I think that there's something that we miss, because integrity, the idea, when we're talking about God, there's a wholeness, there's a completeness, there's an uprightness, a perfectness, but that's God. As man, I can never achieve that. So my integrity has to be tied to God, and guess, there has to be a truthfulness. And this is where I think some of us, even sitting here, we have a wrong biblical concept of integrity, because you think that it is all an outward show. No, it's not, because you're going to fail. But true integrity, biblical integrity, means that I can own up to my failures. That is an integrity, a person with integrity. Some of you, even young people sitting here, you can't own up to your failures. Someone comes to you and said you did wrong, first and foremost, I mean, you're just like, You're not a man or a young person of integrity. You know how I can say that? You can't own up to your failures. Some of you older folks, you can't own up to your failures. If I've done something wrong, it doesn't make me bad to own up to it. In fact, that makes me someone of integrity. When you start lying about it, that means you're not a person of integrity. That's why David, in comparison to King Saul, is a man of integrity, and King Saul is a failure at integrity. Why? Because King Saul, when confronted with his failure, would not own up to it. And sitting here, us, when we are confronted as Christians with our failures, we need to own up to it. That is a sign of biblical integrity. Biblical integrity. That's why King David could be shown as somebody that was complete or whole. It's interesting when you study the root word of integrity. Those of you that have studied the tabernacle or the priesthood, the priest would wear a breastplate, And in the backside, most believe in the backside of the breastplate that he wore, there was a pocket, and inside of it was something called the Urim and Thummim. And what's interesting, the root word for Thummim has the idea of integrity in it, or perfectness. And so it's interesting that the priest, the high priest, was wearing a breastplate, and inside it was that which stood for perfectness or uprightness or strength of character. And that's what we are supposed to be, all right? We are a royal priesthood today. And imparted to us is part of God's nature. And as we grow in Christ, we should become stronger and stronger. We should be more complete, more sound, more perfect, more upright. That's what's amazing. The word integrity comes from the same Latin root word as integer. It implies a wholesomeness, a wholeness of person. Just as we talk about a whole number, it's not a fraction, it's not fractured. That's the idea. Integrity has behind it something complete or whole. All right, so that's, dictionary definitions. So let's look at Old Testament and New Testament and look at a couple of ideas. I showed you that one in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4, where God instructs Solomon to walk with the integrity of heart. Another verse is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 17. It's not the word integrity, but you're going to see the roots involved here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 17, it says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. That word uprightness, the root there, has the idea of integrity. All right, it is soundness. So what is the Bible telling us? In the Old Testament, it's indicating to us that we need to have a wholeness or a completeness. In the New Testament, do we see the word integrity? In the New Testament, you never see the word integrity itself used. But doesn't mean it's not there. Well, I believe it is there. For instance, in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In the New Testament, we do see it used. Matthew chapter 5. So Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. One of Jesus' greatest sermons. So the first thing that he starts into is the Beatitudes, the blessed, all right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's verse 3. But look at verse 8. This is where I believe integrity is shown. Okay, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. That is the idea of integrity. You see this in chapter 6. This is still the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is explaining the idea of what it means to be pure in heart and what it means to be whole or complete. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And then he continues the idea about the prayer closet. So what is Christ trying to indicate to us? Christ is trying to indicate, and there are many people, you can find lots of books on the idea of integrity. And one idea is that the exterior life and the interior life, or the public life and the private life, there needs to be a limited gap between my public life and my private life. And that means That is the idea of a wholeness, a completeness, a purity of heart. Is it saying that you are sinless? No, we're not indicating that. It is impossible to be sinless. But what we are saying is that a person of integrity is working to where their public life is an expression of their private life. And my private life then is wholesome. And so it is important that in my private life, what am I doing? I am building integrity. I am building uprightness and soundness. So what does that mean? That in my private life, it's not just that on Sunday when everybody can see me, I wear things proper and I talk properly. It is in my private life also that I am building that integrity, that wholeness. Otherwise, what does God say? I'm a hypocrite. I'm not pure in heart. Is it saying that I am pure of sin? No, it's not saying I'm pure of sin. But in my private life, I am concentrating more on my private life and having integrity than in my public life. In my public life, if I'm saying I am pure of speech and all that, and then privately I'm not doing that, then guess what I am? The Bible says I'm a hypocrite. I am not a person of integrity. And if I get caught on that, a person of integrity says, you know what, you're right. Instead of starting the wheels of cover-up going. And that's a lot of what men do, don't they? It's all about covering and making sure that my public image is squeaky clean. But what is your private life like? That is what we're talking about. We're talking about integrity. And Christ indicates in the New Testament that we need to be pure of heart. That is an indication of a changed life. So let's go then to our text in Psalm 26. And we have five tips to help us maintain our integrity. Notice what it says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. First of all, a tip for integrity is learn to have a strong faith in the Lord. Your integrity will never stop apart from salvation. That's the start of having integrity. So I'm grateful for those in America and other religions that are saying, hey, we've got to have character when character counts. And you can have all these different statements. And you have priests getting up and talking about lying, and lying is bad. And guess what? I don't think that we should chuck the Ten Commandments in our society. But really, integrity will never start in your life until you have a relationship with Christ. It'll never stop. Start. Because what do I need? I need a new nature. I need a new nature. And so, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, how do I get a new nature? Be born of God. Be born again. So being born again is the start of that, and then I need to continue. I think sometimes we forget, you know, this past week, we split up in about 60 different Bible studies. And those Bible studies are fulfilling that Matthew 28, that Mark chapter 16 commission. And that is, we are supposed to, yes, we're supposed to reach the world with the gospel. Then it says, teaching them to observe all things. That's the next step. So after salvation, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to progress in my knowledge of the Word of God. I'm supposed to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of my Savior Jesus Christ, according to Peter. And so I must have a strong faith in the Lord. Secondly, notice verse 2. So first of all, I need to learn to have a strong faith in the Lord. Secondly, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. Let God examine your motives and your heart. Let God do that. Not your friends, not your peers. Because guess what? We all have friends. And in fact, I think that is very common. We all like to surround ourselves with people that constantly say, you're the greatest. You're unreal. You're so awesome. All right? But guess what? When I come to God, Hebrews, all right, one of my favorite verses about Scripture is found in the book of Hebrews. Most of you know that I love Hebrews 4:12. And in Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, for the word of God, that specifically is used, and that's why I like it. It's very clear. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then it says this, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Then it continues. Sometimes we stop with verse 12, but verse 13 is there. And this includes, and that's why I believe that you have a living word of God, and that is Christ, and you have a written word of God, and that's the Bible. And together between Christ and the Bible, that can come in and it can discern. Verse 13 introduces Christ. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I've used this idea in the studying of that verse in verse 13. That naked and open and all things are, it says the idea that naked and open, that is the word trachea. Okay, trachea, most of us, we hear it, all right? That's our throat. Some believe that that is a reference, because this is written to Hebrew people, of an Israelite, a Jewish person, bringing an offering, an animal, to the priest, and the priest would then pull back the throat, and guess what it would be? It would reveal the trachea. It was open. And guess what would go across? It would, all right, when they were sacrificing, they would put a knife across that throat. They would pull it back. And that was the, in the Greek, there is that behind it. It is open. And what we're saying is that animal was open and harmless to what? The person that was slitting its throat. And the Bible is indicating to you and I that the Word of God and Christ have the ability for us to be basically at the Word of God and at Christ's pleasure, whatever He wants. But you have to, that's the amazing thing about God. He gives us a free will. You have to come before Him. All right, according to the passage here in Psalm 26, it says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. It's giving permission. All right, it's the idea of Revelation chapter 3. We used it this morning. Brother Olson did in our class. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't God have the ability to knock down the door? Yeah, He does. But what is He doing? Knocking. You got to open. You got to open up and say, examine me. That is one of our tips for integrity. You know what? If you open up before God and you say, God, will you reveal to me some flaws and character in my life? This is what I can tell you. God will do it. Now, He doesn't. There are some times when you're resistant and you're rebellious. Oh, He can come and He can chastise you. But God is merciful and gracious. And His approach to us. He's merciful and gracious to us. And so one of the tips is let God examine your motives and your heart. Number three, look at verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Jesus gave us what truth is. John 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So what should we be sanctified in? In God's word. So listen to the truth of God's word. You know, some of us were so caught up in so many other things, and the philosophy of this world, and the opinions of everybody else. And that is sometimes, I mean, I understand it's sometimes nice to have somebody that agrees with your opinion. Once in a while, that's nice. But really, does that matter before God? In fact, biblically, what do we find to be true with this world? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. You know, most people aren't going to agree that they're sinners. Most people aren't going to agree with what the Bible says about a lot of things because that's what the Bible says. It's not going to happen. Every man likes to do that which is right in his own eyes. All the ways of man are right in his own eyes, but the Lord trieth the hearts. That's in Proverbs. So what do we have to do in verse 3? For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So how do I maintain, or how do I gain integrity? Learn to have a strong faith in the Lord. Let God examine your motives and heart. Listen to the truth of God's word. Number 4, verse 4 and 5. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. You know what that reminds me of? What does that remind you of? Another psalm? Everybody think of it? Psalm 1. What does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. All right, it's like he's taking Psalm 1 and applying it for us. So how do I maintain integrity? What are some tips? Number 4, limit your association with the wrong crowd. You know what's not going to help you? Oh, I'm trying to win these folks. I understand that. Have a Bible study at your house then. Have a Bible study at your house. Sit down with the Word of God. No problem doing that. I understand. That's what we should be doing. Reaching the lost world. Some of us in our association, you're not trying to reach them. You're not trying to reach them at all. You're trying to enjoy some sin. And as a church, it does not do us any good to lighten the holiness of God. It doesn't do us any good to bring God down off his pedestal. He deserves the right of holiness. He deserves the right of justice. He is all of that. That's what the Bible says, and he deserves our honor and our praise and our worship. We don't bring him down. Instead, what should we do? We should limit our association with the wrong crowd. And then notice in verse 8, you go down, it says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. What are some tips to grow my integrity? Learn to have a strong faith in the Lord. Let God examine your motives and your heart. Listen to the truth of God's word. Limit your association with the wrong crowd. And love the place of worship. Amen. Love the place where God is uplifted. And that's where I want to go to. That's where I go to hang out. I don't hang out with dissemblers. You know what dissemblers are? Dissemblers are those that disrupt. All right? They're those that cause chaos and havoc. It's a double-minded man. All right? It's kind of opposite. Remember, one of our definitions of integrity is a wholeness, a completeness. A dissembler, this is the idea of disunity, isn't it? It's dividing. So I don't want to be around those that are divisive and dividing to the doctrine of Scripture, that are always questioning God and Christ and the things of God. I don't want to be around those type of people. Why? Because what they're not integrity. They're not people of integrity. They're double-minded. And a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. He's not whole. He's not complete. So the Bible is instructing me. It's helping me to learn to maintain my integrity. And the scriptures here are in that third section. And that's a Bible study for you to do. Look through the Bible. You have Joseph. You have Jephthah. You have David. You have Daniel. You have Christ. You have Paul. And all of these folks, you know what they showed us? They showed us how to have a complete whole person, to be a person of integrity. Every day, we rub shoulders with people who are watching us, and your life will demonstrate to them either for Christ or against Christ. Many years ago, after a Sunday message, a pastor in a church in London got on a trolley. And he got on the trolley on Monday, and he was going to go downtown to study. He paid his fare, and the trolley driver gave him change back. And the pastor sat down, and he fumbled through the change. And he looked it over, and he counted it 8 or 10 times. And in his mind, he started thinking, wow, it's kind of neat how God provides. Because the bus driver or the trolley driver had given him way too much change. And in his mind, he was like, look it, God took care of my needs. Then he realized that, you know what? That driver probably did it by accident. He wrestled with himself to go up there and say something. Finally, he came to the stop and he got up and he walked up to the trolley driver and he says, here, you gave me too much change. You made a mistake. The driver looked at him and said, no, it wasn't a mistake. He said, I was in your church yesterday and you spoke on honesty. And I gave you too much on purpose. I bet you that pastor was kind of happy he gave the change back. Now, if he didn't, does that mean that the whole world's a bunch of lying crooks? No. And actually, as a person of integrity, if that trolley driver would have said something to a person of integrity, had said, you know what, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That's what a person of integrity does. Because integrity on our side is trying to mimic the attributes of God. And what is God? He's holy, he's upright, he is truth. His word is truth. So there are going to be sometimes, as frail human beings, that guess what you're going to do? You're going to lie, you're going to deceive, you're going to slip up. But Bible integrity says that I can walk in my integrity. How do I do it? I own up to it. Own up to it. Say, you know what? That was wrong. Now, if you continually are robbing banks, you know what? You can't say, you know what? You caught me again, but I'm owning up to it, so let me go free. Now, there's punishment. I agree. If you keep on and 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 keep on, something should be done. But every one of us here, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fail in some area of your integrity. Over life, none of us are perfect. But how do you maintain your integrity? The difference between a godly person and an ungodly person is when you're approached with it, how do you deal with it? You say, you know what, that was wrong. Would you forgive me? A man or woman of integrity is able to take that and say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And then I'm going to later today go ask God to forgive me of this failure. Be a man or woman of integrity. Heads bowed, eyes closed.